Welcome everyone, we're about to begin Life Transforming Advice Shiur number 16. And we're going to talk today about learning to differentiate between facts and inferences and value judgments. Facts themselves do not make you happy or sad. It's your value judgments, how you evaluate them, that's what makes you happy or sad. Unhappy people, resentful people, tend to make assumptions without sufficient evidence to know whether they are true or not. They often prematurely assume that things are bad and harmful. Very often incorrectly assume that things are bad or harmful. And even if that inference is accurate, if you avoid that negative value judgment, you won't suffer. So as an example, if someone stares at you while you eat, you may think he's judging you negatively. So you may feel nervous. Could be he's not judging you at all. You don't have evidence for your reference. And even if he is judging you, you have the ability not to evaluate it as negative. You can tell yourself, so he thinks negatively of me. And I could live with that. It's no big deal. So it's really your value of how you react to those events that are taking place. That is the real key. If someone, let's say, tries to force you into doing something you ordinarily would enjoy, you will probably resent that pressure and dislike what that person's trying to make you do. So, for example, if a child is enjoying playing with a certain toy, he may want to stop playing with it if you speak sharply with him and you say, keep on playing with it, you have to keep playing with this toy for 15 minutes. He'll resist it now. He won't play anymore. Instead of telling oneself this is enjoyable, you're changing it to say, I don't want to be forced into doing things. Conversely, although you dislike performing a particular task, you may enjoy it if you found that you were gaining in some way, even if you did not initially look at that task in that light. He brings down Rav Zelig Pliskin a fascinating point. People ask why the righteous suffer in this world, and it is a legitimate question. There is indeed a lot of suffering that the righteous suffer. The whole Sefer Eov is about it. The Navi Yirmiyah questioned it. Moshe Rabbeinu himself, Lama Hari Yosef Lama Zeh. So it is not a small question. But a lot of times when we assume that the righteous suffer in this world, it's based on a misconception. Very often they are the most happiest people. Because the way us average people often tend to judge whether a person is living a good life or not living a good life is by their financial standard of living. That if someone lacks material wealth, we automatically assume they're living an unhappy life. But it's a great error to think so. Truly righteous people, by definition, live a happy life, whether they're poor, whether they're rich. Such a person internalizes the awareness that everything that happens in his life is for the good, and he has a sipik nefesh from his life. Ezo usher hasameach b'chelkai. His life is full of meaning. His life is full of purpose. His whole being is focused on elevating himself spiritually and getting close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he deeply feels that a good life is to do the will of Hashem. So he takes pleasure. He has special nachas ruach with every maisa mitzvah that he does. And even if he lacks the material goods, he'll feel that his life is completely good. And his emotions will be consistent with his positive outlook on life. So we look at him, we look at his little apartment there, which has a half a bedroom with a little kitchen, with a little tiny, you know, bathroom or whatever it is. We say, what is this? He can't have a happy life. And they indeed have indeed a very happy life. So we make these, you know, assumptions based on our perceptions. Another thing that causes us a tremendous amount of unnecessary pain and agmas nefesh is unrealistic expectations. Unrealistic expectations are at the heart of much of our emotional pain. In Shalom Bayis, it works this way too. Very often, the disappointment, the disillusionment, the pain, the suffering that occurs within 6 months to a year after marriage starts is simply that unrealistic expectation of that gap between a fantasy of what was envisioned of what marriage is supposed to be like versus the reality of what marriage is meant to be. And we feel upset and disappointed when our expectations are not met. If we did not have unrealistic expectations, we wouldn't suffer that much. So clarify what you expect from the world. Is it realistic to think that everything will always work out exactly the way you wish? Of course not. So if you give up those unrealistic demands of how things must be, you'll save yourself from much needless disappointment. So for example, if you came to a bus stop 15 minutes before the bus was scheduled to arrive, you wouldn't be upset if the bus did not come during those 15 minutes. You never thought it was. It's not part of the schedule. But if the bus comes 15 minutes after the scheduled time, you may feel very irritated. But why should you expect everything working as you wish? Of course, you would like it to be that way. And it is wise to work on a practical plan to improve matters. But to give up your demands that life must work out exactly as you wish. We have in New York city buses, B8s, whatever I used to take to work and back. Never on time, sometimes 20 minutes late, 40 minutes late, and then all of a sudden three buses come in one shot. So, if it's not in my control, what am I supposed to do about it? To agonize about it? You know, so you have to really basically accept the fact that not everything is according to your liking, and this is the way it is, and you accept it, and you don't suffer as much. You deal with it, or you have to work around it when you need to. So what are these expectations that people have in their minds? The world should be exactly as I wish. Other people should do exactly as I wish. I should be able to accomplish or do anything that I wish. I should marry whoever I wish exactly to fulfill every need that I need. But you give up these expectations and it'll save you a lot of frustration. And he says this sentence, which we mentioned before. Many marriages would be happier if people would give up unrealistic expectations or demands. You could do your shtadlis, you could plan, you could work on things, but challenge those unrealistic demands. Who gave you a guarantee that events will always be the way you'd like them exactly to be? On what grounds are you basing that expectation? What law of the universe are you basing it on? That's very, very important. So the idea is to realize that in day-to-day situations, very often, it's our own perspective that causes our anxiety. And we need to learn to differentiate between what's appropriate anxiety and what's inappropriate anxiety. When anxiety is inappropriate, we need to internalize that awareness. We're not in any danger now. There's no reason to be nervous. And when there is a real danger, then yeah, you have to take precautions. So all of this is an extreme important aside in life and in happiness and the way we learn about how to view things in life. Number one is, yes, there are righteous that suffer in this world, but many of them are extremely happy despite the fact that some of them are poor or not in the best health. But they are shining with happiness. And we feel warm. We go into their environment. So many rich people, they went to tzaddikim that were poor, barely had two pennies to scratch with each other in a very small apartment. And they felt such inner peace there and love and calmness. And again, one main nekuda here is to let go of unrealistic expectations that cause so much of our emotional pain. And we let it go, we'll be happy. Bracha natzlacha.